I mean, my impression is that in the women's movement, the women's suffrage movement, there were a tremendous lot of people who were very interested in theosophy for one reason or another. And if one talks, and if one talks to older suffragettes, and still surviving, there still are a few, very often they're theosophists in one way or another. And you mentioned your mother was a theosophist, or at least was interested in theosophy. I wondered quite why, but not a factious question.
I thought that the ignorance with which women of my mother's generation entered marriage, the disillusionment and the horror which their marriages gave them, because the indecencies that could take place within marriage is far worse, I think, than the present permissiveness. And I think my mother was entirely ignorant of what marriage meant. I think her mother had given her a pot of curry cream and said, "Well, men are funny sometimes. Remember, darling, whatever you endure, I've endured too." And it was not considered the thing for women to take any pleasure, any tarts or courtesans. So it was a brutalization, and if men wanted a response, their mistresses, the wives just there with their children. And I think you get a great deal of sexually unsatisfied women who go to religion.
That's very interesting. You see, one never gets this written down.
I don't think they go, some of them go to Catholics, as you some. I mean, they're creepy crawly ladies round the Brompton Oratory always. But they, especially in the Anglo-Saxon races, English and America are apt to, whether it's because the English and American are worse lovers, I think it's titillation, sex stimulation that the Americans introduced, the rather shows a sexlessness, while in Spain the women are buttoned in black from top to toe because you're dealing with something that's inflammable.
Yes.
I hope it's inflammable.
Yes. Is that strange? But why should it take theosophy, the form of theosophy, rather than, say, as you say, Catholicism or Anglicanism or whatever?
Well, I think in my days we always had to go to church to please Granny. And there was the family pews who don't say we're all equal in the sight of God. And if the living was in the hands of my uncle, the nobles, who I think paid the clergyman so much, a 20-minute sermon and docked him if he went over. Therefore, it was a class, social thing, church. All the villagers sat at the back.
Yes, yes.
While the Lytton family had their family pew, which they could do at the time. It was a top of marble crossway.
Yes, yes. I mean, to some extent, I suppose theosophy was, so to speak, a trendy religion, wasn't it?
It was trendy. It was exotic. It wasn't anything to do with the conventions of going to church. You put on your sable tippet, you say, "I had to go to the clergyman," and it was a social occasion going to church.
You mean the conventional church?
Convention.
Yes.
And as you wanted to break away from conventions, because it was a form of rebellion, I suppose.
Yes, because there were a number of things. There was New Thought, was another thing.
Christian Science.
Yes, Christian Science. The Lady Astor, of course, went into that.
Yeah, that's very American. And having the SARS, which is still prevalent, I mean, there are...
So really it's a sort of
common... I mean, it's a great Eastern export, is the SARS, isn't it?
Yes, well, that's quite true. Except that the Christian Science Messiahs come from the West.
Yes, but Christianity itself...
Christianity, yes, of course. Yes. So it's really a combination, you think, of women in some way either sexually frustrated or at least needing some sort of outlet for their energies or their intellectual interests.
Well, you see, this is one of the things you're talking about. much to occupy tense.
Yes. So it relates to all sort of having not much to do, really.
I think it's boredom a great deal. They want something to fill their lives, and it's either good causes. I do remember when my mom was very young, well, before she married, I think she'd gone to work in the East End to help fallen women. The Adventist would dispose of Mark Long Con, the amount of good it would do any, would make up for the amount of harm it would do to the poor, so to speak. But you either did good works.
Yes. Or in the appalling period you went in for woman suffrage, I suppose.
And I think especially when the profession was not open, you know, which in my lifetime, which you now get what, when I first went to India, no Indian woman sat down to eat with her husband. But the first woman prime minister was an Indian.
Yes, yes.
And then a Sudanese or Singhalese, which is unbelievable.
No, precisely. It's rather interesting, actually, that comes up in the suffrage debates in the 19th century. There are a lot of pro-suffrage
people. Constitutional queen, but I mean, Elizabeth I wasn't a constitutional queen.
Now, I agree. So, your mother, did she sort of go to church, to a theosophical church? I'm afraid I don't understand how it
works. I think she had a friend who introduced her to the theosophy called Mrs. Webb. And she met Mrs. Best, who was a very great. And then it was through Mrs. Besant that she met Krishnamurti, who she had been adopted by an NBT and Mrs. Besant when they were children, the two boys, Krishna and Nitya. And they spent a lot of their time. I came along, I was the fourth out of five children. Mother was very deeply involved. In fact, I think you would say now, she fell in love with Krishna.
Did she?
And I think it's perfectly natural. I think her marriage had failed to occupy her or stimulate her or serve her. And there was to know she'd been disgusted, I think, with the physical aspect of the marriage or shocked by it. Falling in love with somebody made sex, it's completely.
Yes, I understand. I mean, of course, Annie Besant is a sort of link, really, between the two, isn't she? The women's movement and the theosophical movement.
Yeah, well, she was great in a way. She had this, not from the religion, she had a political influence, both in India and in England, and I think she was with. Very hazy now. I knew her well when I was living out, and she was an excellent orator. Very, very noble person. I was lacking in any sense of humor. I used to call her Anna, his mother, and I saw a great deal of her, and I admired her. She had enormous integrity. But she was white haired when I knew. Birth control, or she'd be.
Oh, she did everything. She was in every cause of the war, she went ashore. I didn't realize you'd actually seen any
person. I saw her both in India and in England. I saw a great deal of her. And the two boys, Krishna and Nitya, I mean, we'd spend holidays with us. They were, I was going to say, almost brought up with us.
Yes, I see. So, in fact, your mother was really very involved in the very center of theosophy in this country.
Oh, yes, and then she was also, I mean, you had Freemason and I didn't see very much of father in those days, because he was at the height of his business with two prophets outside the home. And I think he absolutely worshipped my mother. Dukes with himself and the babies at 41. And there's the Jury Hall, where a lot of the men are all there.
Yes.
And 30 years later, they are now saying, you know, it's criminal to have more than two.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's a major change during your lifetime, isn't it? The concern
well, it's
about
a change according to, and the thing is that you can chop and change, obviously, according to sociological necessities, like the overpopulation, which is an explosion. But you expect women, bodies, and attitudes and minds to all these rapid changes. And it must be a very strong need there to have joining women, because it's associated with nothing but discomfort and pain.
Yes.
And yet it's gone on.
Your mother then, she really didn't make theosophy a sort of hobby, really, did she? I mean,
it's her whole life. And then, as I say, she became a complete disciple of Krishna and devotee. And though I dearly love my mother, and I don't wish to in any way take sides, I did simply my father and me see his years of loneliness.
It's a bit unfair. But I wasn't quite clear, did that lead your mother also to be an enthusiast for women's suffrage, or did she not, in fact?
I don't think she liked the militant suffragette, ever. I think it was it's rather parallel, nothing is really parallel, with the idea that a lot of the things that women live stands for. Not against, if that's English. Better conditions generally for women, more of this, that, and the other. Things, the unattractive side, like the silly slogans, like turning to a bra, and that sort of thing, they may find and they longed for these things to be taken through the usual so-called democratic channels. But this is an argument that goes on not only with women's suffrage or women's lib. It goes on with people who can quite naturally object to violence or strikes or anything. Can it not go through the democratic principles?
Oh, yes.
But if you actually look at the people who, as a rule, haven't struck in the past, doctors, nurses, teachers, they only really got a decent deal when they did strike.
Yes.
Perhaps if mother struck, I mean, because they to me do the hardest job of the lot for no recognition of such or pay.
People would take more notice. But your mother actually did, you remember, her disapproving of the suffragette tactics, that's you.
They had the feeling that it was with Aunt Carmichael had gone against her power class, she behaved with great eccentricity. She did, if you like, in many ways embarrass the family. She'd hurt my grandmother very conventionally, extremely, by doing anything that was so vulgar as militant. But again, I gather she had
you make the decision.
She had those dog's eyes and a tremendous vivacity, because she's a chronic invalid, and I saw her, face lit up, she had infectious laugh. She certainly wasn't pretty. She's one of those people who had to do on another hair, dark, which is a gray around here, which was inclined to curl. And it was very, very dark, blue eyes and black hair. And I should think possibly a very good figure, but I don't know how old she was when I met her. It struck me she's no older than she was probably.
Yes, I'm afraid I haven't got my dates right, but certainly she was quite a bit about that. She must have been in her 50s or 60s, I would have thought, because she'd been at home. She always did by the one letter. I don't know why I found that letter when Mother died. She kept all her letters and she returned us these macabre suitcases, which was quite useful when I had to write this book. And I rather stupid to go and all out of order to see if there was anything with the half marked in it that you can tell in the handwriting. Yes.
And how did you first start with this letter from Hong Kong? She obviously felt rather strongly. Sure.
tell you stories or, I mean,
no.
What was it, the no, relationship? Was it just a sort of joking relationship?
Well, I think it was, the granny was extremely severe. I mean, she almost had bolt upright on a hard chair and held her tea like this. And we had to go to church to please her. Slightly awe-inspiring, because she was very much a calm dove. And I was so terrible, she used to sit around her in the dining room by herself when she was alone, so she could hear the conversation in the servants' hall. I mean, this is loneliness.
Yes, so, I mean, it was really... She was on your side.
I thought she was on one side of not
she wouldn't sort of tell on you and sort of you could sort of really say what you thought in that.
Yeah, after all, you were then as a mercenary as well, normally if you were a nuisance you'd be whisked away anyhow. But it wasn't so much that, it was simply that
I can understand.
And that suddenly our conflict, I think, was slightly more unlocked.
But what was she doing all the time? I mean, she
was in bed.
Was she?
She was extremely, I think, not at all well. One has no sympathy towards the child. One just thinks somebody ill or somebody old is just a different species. You can realize that you
really don't know. So in fact,
and she did try to take some trouble with the food, because I don't think Granny was very good house about it any more than Mother. Mother was appalling.
I suppose she must have read books and sort of done things like that. You say she did.
Yes, I think she probably was a reader, but of course when you were a child, I wasn't born yet. No, by the time I got there, when I was about 18 or something, she'd either died. She met them, but right at the end, she got.
This is Con. Good Lord, I didn't know that actually.
Yes, just at the end, I think, at the end of her life, he gave her a new hope, should we say.
Yeah, I see.
And having lived for 30, 40 years, I don't know, the life of Inverdeed and the nurse waiting on her night and day, she suddenly came up to London, took a room in King's Cross, and went into social work, and the end of Blossoms, as we
good heavens. So she really came out of her cocoon, as we twice in her life, and she came out once.
Chance of a person. Well, I mean, I did actually, I left home at 16, first of all, to go to Paris, and then had rooms of my own, which I paid for out of what's called my dress allowance. But then I think my family was slightly eccentric. I mean, first of all, father wasn't, he was a self-made man, didn't inherit property or titles or anything. And mother was always away on her. Terribly funny, that is a father.
Another thing that mothers spend their time doing, sort of arranging their daughter's love life.
But I mean, normally one would have an allurement. My prince and sister was older than me. He was the only one who escaped the philosophy. Because my eldest sister, subsequently.
So you didn't really fit into this at all yourself?
We couldn't have done the way I did in London, Borstein, and on the other hand, I wasn't the sort of person who put his foot down.
How did your mother get on, such as with Carl Antrim? I mean, did...
I think all the family loved her.
Did they?
Yes. They all loved her.
Just because she had this retracted...
She had enormous charm, and I think they entirely respected her belief. But my youngest uncle, Margaret Neville, was a painter. He was the one who really also called out, shall I say, the best in Granny. He used to come and rub her back and play the flute to her.
Partly, I suppose, I think the lead is a bit of a rather centre to a family anyway, because she's always there, sort of thing.
And now, looking back on it, I think she was a horribly bored. But she didn't, as I say, care either. And I think that, I suppose, I made it realise when I met him, what a prominent man he was, and not even a full-time nurse and stuff. So she was well cared for.
The nurse, I mean, she got on well with the nurse.
Yeah, the nurse is a great character. Again, I was too young to know what books they read or something.
But it was a sort of companionship, really, was it, between Carl and her nurse?
I suppose it must have been. I mean, somebody to talk to or laugh to or understand the other. Mm. And then, of course, remember there was my uncle Victor with the big house who would come down and visit her.
Yes, actually, no, Victor is the one who lost the support for women's suffrage, isn't it?
Yes, I think he did, I gather.
Yes, I'm interested in him, and one thing...
You see, there was two sons who died, which my mother had written part of the death of Roland, their eldest son died. And then the other son, Teddy, had Krupp, which is something I don't know what Krupp is now called, who died.
What is the mother name for him now?
So I think they were very disappointed when my mother came along as being the third daughter, which I think made my grandmother rather especially fond of her because she was disappointed. Then two boys came who were much younger.
But, you see, Victor lived, didn't he, am I right in saying, right the way up to about the 1950s or so?
Well, I think he died, I don't know, because I don't tell you the honest truth, I don't have much to do with even my sisters except by telephone. Mm-hmm. My younger sister, we telephone to each other, mm-hmm. and she gives me news of my older sister, who I occasionally telephone to, but she occasionally invites me down to services with her. But I mean, we're not in each other's pockets, and as for the Lytton cousins,
you really
I've seen a lot of Marnie, Vina, who was brought up with the two boys, died, Anthony, who was a favourite, killed in a flying accident, and I think Churchill was madly in love with Pamela Lytton, who was one of the beautiful women I've ever met, Victor's wife. And I remember that funeral very well, Churchill crying like a baby. And then the younger son was killed in the war. And Johnny. And I've barely got nothing in common.
Did you actually see your Uncle Victor very much?
When we were children, we used to go up to the big house. Or even marvellous skater. In those days seemed to be in winters. Well, winters one could skate on the lake and everything. And summers I remember living in cotton dresses, holland dresses with knees across here, barefoot up to October. Something is happening to the weather.
Yes, it was a contrast.
Same where the winters were cold, which we haven't had. I mean, yesterday was like the winter.
Yes, and it is a bit strange, I think.
They say they enter a new ice age. The fact you can sit in jail very far, I'm not perhaps you are too far.
No, I hope you're right, but I mean, I take your point. So, in fact, you didn't really see much of Victor, really. I mean,
Well, we went up nearly every day to the big house and played with our little cousins. But they were the grown-ups, weren't they?
Yes, yes.
And then when I got older, I think I was disapproved of.
one thing which I did want to ask you was who you suggest I saw to talk about Victor with, because Victor is a
very... He's got his two daughters that are alive.
Oh, well, they always seem to be marvellous artists. Or
my son said to me the other day, he said, I think all artists should have something of socialism. And I don't think he was talking party politics at all. It was just his awareness of people.
I wonder whether you ever noticed that yourself, as because you were very young.
I just thought that almost any intelligent man doesn't want Dolly Birds. And if any masculine man is not afraid he's going to lose his masculinity if he has an intelligent woman. And then out in France, they always there's the gallantry. It's not here. This is a very male country, and I think on the whole they hate women. And I think they go to public schools where every sex instinct is basically something about male for. And women are rather more presented to them as temptations that should be resisted. If you're from the age of 9 to 7, 18, or whatever it is, you're rather felt this is an evil temptation of women.
Yes. Women in your mother's period spent an awful lot of their time painting and doing sort of, in a sense, unnecessary things, or at least useless things, in inverted commas. And I suppose
it's changed very, very quickly. There's very, very few things now that women can't, but then I realised there was a thing in the paper this morning to say I strongly feel women in the present trade union what they do. And they want to make one exception. Sex discrimination bill in the sense that the Labour Party council or something should have it for women because they have the women secretary.
Yes.
At the moment, they wouldn't have a chance of getting in competition, so to speak, with men.
For the next executive committee, yeah.
And I still get what is rather interesting, all the press cuttings which I have, there's never been mentioned, so to speak, of being a woman or ladies or any of this sort of thing at all in about 40 years of professional life. And I remember when I first started concerts, there seemed to be quite as many women composers as men, and it seemed to be pretty irrelevant. So in private life. Now the last 2 or 3 years, nothing cracks against being a lady composer, which is the backlash of women's lives.
So would you say that in the art world or the music world, sex doesn't matter and didn't matter then nearly as much as it does in other professions or other parts of society?
Well, I think, for instance, they've now accepted actresses. They were saying Barbara Hepworth wasn't going to be called a sculptress. Mm. They accepted women artists. Women writers have now been accepted. I think they're still... I can never be able to think as a composer about this question. And I want to say Johnny Ave is doing it all, and then he said, don't you think women are sometimes only composers and butch? They're overcompensating. It's a very, very rude question. Compensating for what? I mean, I could easily say to him, are you interviewing people to try and bring out the best in them? Because you're compensating for the fact you haven't got an interest. You park in the...
Yes,
and I should be then... Was it last year they had a day devoted to women in the arts?
Yes.
And I wrote to the producer privately saying, balls. I think just that. I said, here's a letter you may use if you want. And I surprised that they did. I said, everything about your influences was work. I mean, whether the title, the politics, society, one's age, one's nationality, one's religion, one's sex. If they want a discussion on the influence of sex on art, and are prepared to invite all representations of all four sexes, I wouldn't mind joining in. Why should my private life be investigated, not Benjamin Britten's?
Yeah.
passed out from a cradle, I've been telling you, still in grandchildren, is that the instinct is to give little boys trains and little girls dogs.
They go right back to that.
And it goes even before that. And in a way, I was rather interested to see downstairs, and I gave a daughter, mind you, she would have expensive Hong Kong motor engines, right up. And I gave a little boy a teddy, because he so loved the teddy the other day.
I mean,
she was extremely exhausted. You wanted to be in a room of health to endure her. And I always thought it so funny that if you were pro-women, so to speak, which I shouldn't see, it's like some of this women did. I think if you're going to go anti-man, you're doing exactly the same. You're objecting to men being anti-women as.
So
she dressed as a man at the harbour. Nobody, because she didn't wear trousers, because nobody wore trousers then. She got a horror of babies, as I know. She lunched with me, and I was nursing with my eldest since my 4th month. And I know you're telling her that because she would not like it, so I made some excuses. And but I brought her with the baby to see. Shuddering.
necessarily that they'd actually sleep together, but certainly these attractions were important.
I thought it rather odd in the first programme of the documentary on television, on homosexuality, on lesbians, not on men.
That is surprising, because
for example, I should thought far less lesbian than male homosexuality.
Well, certainly people know less about it.
I don't think there is so much anyhow.
Yes, that's interesting. I think I just don't know. But how did you come across Ethel Smyth? Was it bar music?
No, she took a cottage. Betty Balfour, my aunt, mum's elder sister, they came working. And she married General Balfour, who was the Prime Minister's brother, who was after she became Earl Balfour. She met much of me occasionally, Miss Stephanie Hubbard, and the time I came along, it was ridiculous to be a suffragette. I mean, it's sort of an intellectual battle has been won. It's like an intellectual battle has been won by women's lib, but I know she's not anymore. Really, all the letters I get is addressed to MS. And there are certain things which have been frightful. Says a woman, for instance, my husband didn't get a job all the years we were married. Now, he could obtain income tax rebate for somebody to look after the children. I couldn't. I went to get something on HP because I have my money comes in. I never know, you're offered sometimes three films and then nothing. I couldn't get it, only a man. And I said, well, it's not that much help to me. And he said, what do you do? And I said, oh, it's about being a woman. I felt that she wasn't playing because she was a woman. Quite honestly, I felt sometimes she wouldn't have been playing unless she was a woman. And the fact that she was in a unique position. I think her music's extremely good, but it all the sort of no interest in me whatsoever when I was young. And it sort of might be Brahms. I noticed the other day they
hear sort of the choral pieces a bit, don't you? Organ piece, but nothing very much.
Stanford, B flat and church or something.
Yes. Yes. But very rarely.
And that Jerusalem, which is.
So really, I mean, it was simply as a sort of family friend you met. I mean, it wasn't it? There was no other.
Well, I'm not interested in her, so to speak, because I have no doubt she took an interest in me. We had this in common that we were both composers or so and so. Difference in age, and she certainly didn't influence me, except the only thing that happened when they make an excuse, she didn't have any children, and the problem of being a woman artist is not being a woman, it's children. And as it's the women who have children, and it's generally the women, on the whole, not all women, who look after the children. I was a case the other day of a man who was their president. The housewife thinks about the children. The woman doesn't like it, so she goes out and gets the job, and he looks after the child. Then when she tried to get the extra supplementary money from the dependent, she wasn't given it. She has to support her husband like her husband has to support the wife. And given that now, in the last few years, this choice is open. actually just leads purely the problem of the children, and it becomes a purely practical one. So they've been asking Barbara Castle, who hasn't got any. All the people who have money enough to be able to pay for marriage, which is even when my children were little, I could have a nanny, nursery maid, and three other servants for less than what I'm paying the girl twice a week. And there's no such thing as servants, now they don't exist. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm delighted, comfortable that it was to be looked after. Now I know that I'd give anything to have somebody who would sew on a button for.
Yes, because therefore I've never had any child problem twice, so I suppose she just
lived for her music. She said once she could be a composer, but she had superb help and small private income. And I think probably why they've been so, well, to me it's a miracle there have been women doing anything. Because to start with, purely physically, there's a drop every month in their health.
Yes, well, that's...
And if you've got a big work on, when I was young, it was 24 hours of torture and awful depression for two or three days before. In fact, this is an upsetting thing which completely stopped when I had children. I never had any of these.
That's well, that has a profound effect on an artist, doesn't it?
Yes, I mean, you want to work all the time. It takes 3 months' concentration, and you want a concentration drop biologically. Well, it's the same way now they say equality for women, so men don't get up and give women their seats in the tube, not realizing that, however, equal opportunity intellectually, women can't stand. They're stronger than men. They have stamina. They live longer than standing.
When you were watching the shoulder-to-shoulder thing, did you see the films that were of Ethel Smythe?
Well, they got it wrong. You see, she bought these tweed coats and skirts. For one thing, they don't understand. They don't get the 20s right, ever. It was indecent to have two bosoms in the 20s. So you were bound to think all cost of Kestos here. You couldn't have two. It was large and flat. And so there they had the little cigarette holders and the hair shinkled, and they try and get the dresses right. They always have two bosoms. And here's Ethel Smythe with a coat and skirt with two bosoms. Ethel Smythe, as far as I knew, had no bosom. I mean, it's all large, it's upholstered like Queen Mary, but you certainly never had two that walled. I mean, this is Jane Mansfield. I mean, it's they've got it absolutely wrong.
Yes. But
it's like the decor in Homewood, which is so awful. The type of I mean, Granny had the worst possible taste, but it doesn't look quite as bad as those sort of lampshades.
But there's a masculine sort of role striding about horsiness. Was that right, really, for Ethel
Smythe? Oh, yes, she did, and flat shoes, and she always had this dog with her. She had a huge English sheepdog, and they were called Pan. And 1, 2, 3, 4, they died, she faked off, and she was, had, as I say, tried to dress like a man, which means, and she was quite pretty, she had a huge dome body. There was a biography of her son in it the other day, it was a most pathetic picture, when she was very old, and in the control of some nurse or housekeeper. They made her wear a sort of floral dress with beads, and I think that was to squash that. They'd robbed her of her particular identity.
A style, really.
Which is a whole way of life. Which is
that was I think it's Christopher St. John's book, isn't it?
Somebody lent it to me some years ago. I can't remember who did it.
Yes, there is a biography of it I must read. But anyway, what was she like to talk to? I mean, was she sort of clipped and brisk and sort of...
Oh, yes, as I say, enormous vitality. She talked all the time. Intelligent, biased, prejudiced, interesting, and the sort of vitality which sent you to bed for 2 days.
Like Winston Churchill, I mean, just sort of doing things all the time in all areas of life. Yes. But is she...
And the one thing she cherished was her independence, and her dog, and her dress, and her clothes. And this last photograph made me weep that they had taken, robbed her from everything that was her. I could make her a dear old lady in a formal dress.
Yes, terrible.
Horrible.
What was she like, sort of, in the house? I mean, she had this cottage, and she got...
I didn't think I ever went to her cottage.
I see.
She came up to London several times, I remember, lunching with me. I must have met her when I occasionally went down to my aunt and working. Before the war, we used to do a great deal of going to Spain weekends. I nearly went away nearly every weekend. I went to home when little Fanny died. I haven't seen it since. I said it too, because of all houses in the world, it's a house I'd have loved to have owned and lived in. And,
anyway, you went
there. Some very nice people have got it, and I've let it not serve them. I haven't known since Granny died, I've never been down to home since.
Because that weekend habit really is related to the continued existence of servants.
Yes, apparently. I mean, my older sister occasionally asked me to go down to the weekend, but she has now got a... she's older stage than I am. She's got only a couple there, and her husband has injured his hip. He slipped and he's broken his hip bone here. So I mean, she's got such problems that I really can't feel that I'm an asset enough worth the trouble of going there.
Yeah, but you could then visit.
But I do. She does say in the bath, don't change attention. You know, you don't want to drown. The bath is run for you. All the sort of things that I should. Yeah, it on. And now I accept the joyous service to my lady. And I say the comfort of the English upper class houses before the war. Food. Homegrown baby vegetables.
Yes, well you must miss all those things. I felt even with the baby.
No, I find when I'm now old, I would love to have it, because I accept it.
This whole theosophy connection interests me quite a lot, because theosophy on the whole is not an influential movement at all now, whereas it clearly was in progressive circles in the suffragette period.
Yes, but you see, you get something of the same wave of slightly further religion, for example, the hippie movement. And they've all been trekking on hash to India with
the same sort of thing.